We'll begin with our vice chairman. Joe Phillips, North Kitsap.
Kim Allen, South Kitsap.
Aaron Murphy, North Kitsap.
Alan Beam, Central Kitsap.
Jim Svensson, South Kitsap.
Amy Mall, North Kitsap.
Ed Galloway, South Kitsap.
Good evening, Rick Shattuck, Central Kitsap.
Mike Eliason, Central Kitsap. Richard, is your microphone on? I couldn't hear you.
Brad, just, I don't know.
Okay.
Richard Shattuck, can you hear me?
Yeah. Just as you know, it's hard for the clerk sometimes to hear us, so remember, get as close as you can. And although he introduced himself, welcome to our newest addition to the commission.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Beam, welcome. Happy to have you here. Next item of business is adoption of agenda. Are there any changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll entertain a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have motion and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye. Okay.
All those opposed? Motion passes unanimous. Next item of business is approval of minutes, January 1, 2020. Are there any corrections? I have a few. On page 2, line 19, it says, Mr. Best, review the four main points. I think it should say reviewed, just a minor typo. And then same page on line 37, it says, and would stay with, and it's a typo, the land, the E went with land. And on page 3, line 19, it says, but would have follow currently adopted plan. Again, just a minor correction. And then on line 22, it says, Ms. Mall asks, Mr. Best confirms environmental cleanup would be much stricter for residential, thank, industrial. Obviously, it's just removal of the letter K, so it says than residential, than industrial. On page 5, I'm sorry, 5, page 5, line 3, uncompatible use, look at an area. Surround, just a surround should be surrounded. And then page 7, line 15, comments are not so much project. It says relater should be related or specific. Then there's a comment, it says bit want, I think it's just but. And the rest are just other minor stuff, no big deal. But thank you very much. You did a great job stepping in and getting this out to us. And I know it's difficult because I've taken a lot of meeting minutes over the years, and especially when you have as many parties as we have at meetings with back and forth. Commissioner Shattuck?
I was just going to move the January 21 minutes as amended.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and second to approve the January 21, 2020 meeting minutes as corrected. All those in favor, say aye. Raise
aye.
Your hand. All those opposed? The motion passes unanimous. The February 4th meeting minutes are going to be deferred to a future meeting. Okay, item D, general comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to provide testimony to the commission on any matter. If you would like to speak tonight, please come forward. Seeing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item. Item E, deliberations and recommendation, Port Gamble legislative amendments. Mr. Eric Baker.
You can help me get the thing working for me.
Greetings. Sure works?
It doesn't sound
like good. I can talk really loud. Okay. Well, thank you very much. My name is Eric Baker. I'm with the Kitsap County Commissioner's Office. I think this group has heard me opine two different times at length about the merits of the Port Gamble legislative amendments that have been presented to you. The public provided testimony associated with this at both your work study and then at the actual public hearing. I think the only one proposed amendment came forward in the public testimony, and that is what is shown in the revisions matrix. As shown in the staff report, Kitsap County staff recommends the documents that you have before you, but would support the change that you see here. Once we actually get to that part of the conversation, there may be one additional change that's necessary to footnote 8, which is referenced here, that might be necessary to provide additional clarity. But generally, we'd like to open it up to the Planning Commission for any potential conversation they'd like to have about the document as presented.
Any comments?
It seemed to me that most of the testimony we heard had to do with support for the wildlife shelter, and I'm assuming that this language addresses their concerns and
yes.
Work.
Yes, basically this is associated with setbacks within between lot lines in the rural residential rural protection zone. The footnote, which if you want to flip to it, is on page 43 of the amendments. It basically allows that within a town master plan, certain setbacks don't need to be adhered to. The reason this is where the wildlife shelter is proposed. They, again, want to keep the actual buildings, et cetera, away from the actual animals in many ways. This isn't like a place where you're going to have runs like a kennel or a vet's going to have. They want to be able to maximize the amount of space they have on the property. And also, this is going to be adjacent to the town. So having buildings closer and GIMP is more consistent with the feel of the town, but also is much better for the rehabilitation of the animals that will be at the shelter, as the eagles, et cetera, will be further away from any potential human activity or unwarranted human activity. But while we're on that, one additional change, if you look at that footnote, it starts a veterinary clinic or animal hospital. As you remember, we have not included wildlife shelter in the code. That's one of the changes that we made. Very likely that footnote would have to include veterinary clinic, comma, animal hospital, or wildlife shelter. So we would like to add that as row number 2 on this as a potential amendment. Again, we're looking at footnote 8, page 43.
Maybe so that we're not as formal as we were at the last meeting, we could continue if there's any other questions of staff, and then conclude that part of it and then move into our deliberation. I mean, it's part of the deliberation stage, but then get into discussion about approval or any amendments to it. Any other questions of staff? I have one I'll bring up again. John's going to say, oh, geez, here he goes again. So back to, and I'm certainly willing to compromise, and we'll get into discussion with the commissioners to see if they have a similar concern. And again, as I mentioned at the previous meeting, I looked at a number of jurisdictions, and then since the last meeting, I've even broadened that into larger cities like Seattle and Spokane. And, oh, there went my microphone, I think. She's heard enough. Click. And it's fairly consistent. There's some variables, but it's fairly consistent 10 p.m. And I'm willing to compromise. I think John made a compelling argument in addressing it and about the vibrancy and having a place where you can have, even in the Class B and C Ednas to the receiving areas, I think he made a compelling argument. But I'm wondering if there might be some room to compromise if we were to do 11 p.m. during weeknights and then 12 p.m. on the weekends, and I noticed this, I think it's the city of Seattle that actually has that combination. Is this something that would make a significant impact to their future plans? I just have a hard time going along with 12 when Kitsap is consistently 10 p.m. and all the other jurisdictions are 10, and some are earlier. City of Paulsbo and other jurisdictions cut off certain types of noise, like construction projects, at 7. Any staff comment?
In general, because this is a project that's going to be developed all at one time, a lot of our concerns, but people aren't going to move to this area as people aren't going to move to this area knowing there is the ability to make noise if that's not something that they're going to be interested in. If this was a type of situation where we're going to have a number of existing homes that this is going to be built up around, that isn't going to have either notices to title or the other documents that John referenced in the public hearing that is always required to go along with this. Whether someone reads it or not is always going to be a question, but because this is intended to be developed as one full master plan with everybody coming in knowing what they're getting, staff is more willing to make an accommodation to midnight, with the idea being that this, again, is a relatively small area. The commercial area in particular is relatively small, and the residential is going to be located just around the outside of it. I think it's really, it seems acceptable from staff's perspective, though we can understand what other jurisdictions have done to address issues, though I do believe that that is not part of a master plan concept. Those codes are based upon multiple ownerships that existed prior to any noise considerations being taken and being
okay. Issued. Fair enough. And then has the staff reviewed the Kitsap County Superior Court decision against the city of Bremerton related to, I believe it was Brother Don's, and the noise ordinance being the judge had ruled the ordinance?
Yes, we firmly stood on decibels and decibel levels, which is not what got the city of Bremerton. The city of Bremerton, the whole Brother Don case was associated with the concept of public disturbance noises, a more vague concept, in which they then went and said, okay, certain types of these, like church chimes, etc., are not public disturbance
right.
noises. They're just as loud as everything else. They can also be chiming at other times. It was that got the city of Bremerton in trouble. The code that you see before you is strictly based on decibel levels as measured by a decibel meter, and is not something that is subjective, nor is anything that basically says certain noises good, other noises bad.
Yeah.
So this code would be viewed as substantially different and not not threatened by those types of changes.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that according to news reports, there were 200 complaints over, I don't know how many parties were involved or if there were repetitive complaints, but that's an urban area built out, and you still have a significant number of complaints about one location. So but I think you made a good point about it's also not a town master plan, and people know what they're getting into. Okay.
That's true. Just to follow up on the noise issue, now there are existing residences there that will be impacted by increased noise once the master plan is implemented.
Those existing residences are owned by Pope Resources, so the idea is that ultimately these homes are not going to be owned, that they may be redeveloped in some form. I think a lot of the historic homes are going to stay in place, but likely when this is all completed, a number of them are going to be sold. But ultimately they're all in current Pope Resources ownership. There's no one else who owns on the property who is expecting something other than what the future could allow.
Well, I think Chair Leisen has a point on the compromise. I would support the compromise that you propose, because I mean, party until midnight every day of the week seems too much. So something less on during the week and midnight on the weekends, I could support that.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Beam.
Is there a proposed venue for this? Are the indoor venues or the outdoor concert parks? What's the venue that this is noise is tied to?
It's largely expected to be inside of restaurants or drinking establishments, brew pubs, those types of things. Again, it's intended to be inside the town and inside the core of the town. I don't believe we're talking about the exterior noise necessarily. I think it is largely planned for the interiors of buildings, which again does bring into some commonality with the noise of Brother Don's, as distant hours of the night. But, yeah, I think we're probably looking at the core of town and we're looking at the interiors of the building.
And these current venues are not current. They aren't there now.
I don't believe there's anything currently present, though potentially you'd be looking at the current conference center that is on site. I think that would be the place that I would probably focus.
Is there an amphitheater or any kind of outdoor concert venue proposed in the master plan?
I don't believe that there is one. There is open space, and the future of that open space could be a number of different things, but I don't believe that there's one proposed.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? One other thing, referenced previously too, and obviously you've got different stages of their proposals, including with the hearing examiner and the commissioners, and I haven't looked into it and don't know where they are with it, of course. But I'm curious if there's been any discussion with the applicant about of these 295, I think it was 295 units maximum. Has there been any preliminary discussion of what that might look like as far as how many are going to be single family versus multifamily? And I guess what I'm getting at is how many are going to be attached multifamily? And the reason that's a concern to me is, well, first, that entire area from Lowfall out to Port Gamble used to be R2 zoning. It used to be 2 units per acre. And after Growth Management Act, it's now 1 unit per 5 acres. So that's like a tenfold difference. And, of course, part of the requirements with this proposal is that you can't do things that would make substantial changes to the zoning, et cetera, by neighboring properties. But obviously this is a different circumstance, but this Port Gamble, as you know, is located in an area that's quite far from other areas of urban levels of service. And they have to provide infrastructure. I was happy to hear, and I knew they had a new water system. And so they are going to be doing a lot of unique and great things right in Port Gamble. But I know they're not going to have police service in town. And highly unlikely they'd have their own fire service. So I'm curious, especially since we're, and I think it's a good thing that we would eliminate the 50-foot setback and give them flexibility, because I think they need that. But I'd like to have a better idea of what are their plans as far as what it could look like.
I could have the applicant come up and kind of describe what the application is. I guess what the application currently states, I guess my only apprehension on that is the code would allow for a wide variety of realities
right
beyond that. I think what is currently shown in theirs is they have some cottage housing that's proposed in a few areas. They have largely single-family residential. So again, single-family detached housing proposed in the majority of it. So there is some possibility for attached housing. Attached housing was part of the history of this. If it is the pleasure of the Planning Commission, we could have the applicant talk a little bit about that, though that is not necessarily a guarantee.
Right.
And the code that is proposed can allow for a host of different.
Right. I think you've answered me satisfactory. Yeah, thank you. Commissioner Mall, did you have your hand? Oh, sorry.
No.
I thought you did. Any other comments? Okay, we'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
We have a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, second. Discussion? Any further discussion? Oh, go ahead.
I move that we adopt the recommended attachment A as part of our motion to move. Is that the right sequence?
Okay.
Amend.
A motion to approve staff's recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all those in favor of the amendment say aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes, so we have an amendment.
As this one does not reference the wildlife shelter in footnote 8, would it be possible to consider that one at some point during this?
Right.
I apologize that it's not on this. It was one that just came up to me just 20 minutes ago.
That's fine. Do you want to restate it? So,
yes. Basically, what we're looking at is on page 3, footnote 8, that at the beginning, instead of reading a veterinary clinic or animal hospital, it would read a veterinary clinic, comma, animal hospital, or wildlife shelter. So the Orr Wildlife Shelter would be inserted. The Orr would be removed between the veterinary clinic and animal hospital, and a comma put in that place.
Okay, is there a motion to accept that as an amendment?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
And a motion and second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion carries. And then let me go see if I can find that reference to the... the time. Okay, so it's on page 7 where we have the reference to the from 7 a.m. to midnight. I guess maybe before we have any motion or any amendment, are there any other commissioners that would like to discuss the issue regarding noise? Commissioner Shattuck.
Yeah, in terms of the facility itself, when I've been up there, for example, there is the conference center is used for weddings. And if those are fathers or mothers around here have involved in weddings where you have a hard cutoff at 10 o'clock, in terms of cutting that down, it takes away from that experience. And I guess, again, we've got some place where the applicant says we have a market for this. We have a unique circumstance in that this is it's different than other places in the county. It is a master planned resort. It is something where people coming in and buying housing is going to know that it's unique and special. And that will be pointed out not only by the fact the way it's set up, but also, as the applicant has said, notices to title.
Right.
That that is going to be disclosed, and people will be aware of it. Now, I'm in favor of giving the applicant the flexibility it thinks it needs to make this a real successful effort, whether it's, you know, we're going to do a little bit of multiple family, or we're going to do single family. We're going to let noise go a little later. So I would be opposed to... coming in and saying, well, you know, other jurisdictions have earlier times, so it must be good for this area too. So I would vote against a change.
Okay. And I think we were discussing not 10 p.m. I think the compromise I suggested was 11 p.m. weekdays and then midnight weekends. But if you want to stick to midnight,
and I guess the rationale is that your thought is a person who is a homeowner would find that more acceptable than midnight, even though they bought in knowing that it was midnight.
Well, so, like I said, my history in real estate, yeah, and even watching what's happened is that you're still going to get the 200 complaints,
right,
even if there is notice to title, although I think the applicant made a good point in their process of selling. It's a lot more informative to the buyer, and they'd have professional brokers that could explain that to people. But it's not just them. You have adjoining property owners. If you look at the configuration of the property, it runs uphill. There are neighbors in the adjoining community. You're also surrounded, similar to what Brother Don's has out there, where you've got water that travels fast. So one thing I haven't asked is, and I know the tribe has been involved, maybe, I don't know if they've expressed any concern, but sometimes, especially even across over at Little Boston, you could probably hear people better over there than you could uphill on the mainland side of Port Gamble. So that's a concern as well. But I was just trying to forge some compromise without, in giving deference to them, knowing the circumstances, but still being reasonable and not hampering their ability to have events. Because the reality is, even if you have a 12 p.m. Restriction, by the time you get law enforcement involved, now they're there at 1 in the morning, and you resolve the issue by 2 in the morning. So, I mean, it's not a big deal, but I also think it's important to be consistent in the rest of the county. It's midnight, or I mean, it's sometime, even though the Lambert of Keyport's built out, if somebody wanted to make big changes, are we going to allow them to go till midnight? You know, so, but I think you guys make good points. Commissioner Beam?
It's been my experience with other areas and jurisdictions that even if you have notice to title, that's not necessarily enough. Classic example is Whidbey Island. Everybody comes in, they sign that they've all those notice to titles, and then they deny they've ever seen it.
Right. I made that point at a meeting.
There may be something that we could do. I put someplace so that it's obvious to people that these restrictions are approved.
I would like to add that in the master plan, they have deliberately separated out the residential area from the commercial area. Most of the noise complaints, not Whidbey, but most of the noise complaints are where you have a combination of residential and business, and that's when the noise gets in. This is a situation that they've foreseen. They've made arrangements to allow it. So I think it's worth a shot to let them see what they can do with it. And that instead of just, oh, well, we've always done it this way, so that's the way we're going to do it. I think the residents are going to be far enough removed. The business core center will be where it's happening. I don't picture it being the fairgrounds that lets everybody in the county know, but I really think we should allow them to move forward with what they've thought out.
And just Murphy, almost to defend your position in the same tone of what Joe's saying, it is a unique location, right, in a number of ways. And so assuming that the market can decide the answer to that, I think that we could come back later if Keyport says, what about us? We want to party till midnight too. We can say, just like you did, that was a unique situation. It does not apply across the whole county in the concept that we have one owner and one master plan.
And I think my concern is, you know, if as you look down the road of unintended consequences for some things, I understand, I agree. I notice the title, the 200 people are still turning out. But as the residential units are built out, now you have a neighborhood, and you can't make a noise complaint until midnight 7 days a week in the neighborhood, not from the noise coming from the commercial uses, but from your neighbor's own noise. And I just, to deviate from the noise standards in that respect is, I don't know what the rationale, I mean, I don't feel that the rationale is
could
sufficient.
On that, if the actually the neighbors, yeah. This is broken into this weird esoteric planner speak. Class A Ednas are residential. Right. Basically, this latitude only is for tight, what are called Class B Ednas, which are commercial areas,
okay,
to residential. So the neighbors, a neighbor-to-neighbor issue wouldn't necessarily apply. It's only that commercial-residential interface.
So commercial noise that's being received by residential would be...
is the topic.
Well, and I'm thinking it from an enforcement point of view. That, yeah, right. That it sounds unnecessarily complicated, I guess.
Do you need a motion?
We have the underlying motion. So are there any other amendments about noise or any other subject? If not, we can proceed. Commissioner Mall.
My general concern when it comes to noise is that people who are unable to afford the nicer living areas get stuck living in the noisy living areas. In this case, it sounds like the entire town is going to be for people with a fair amount of money because it's going to be kind of a nice, kitschy area to live. Under that assumption, I'm okay with the noise limit. I'm not opposed to the 11 o'clock amendment either. But I just want to confirm that it does seem like that's the case, that we're not sticking people who can't afford to live farther away from the downtown core with the loud noise until midnight.
Due to the historic character, the vibrant nature of this, I would be surprised if these were anything less than market rate, if not market rate and higher homes. But again, looking at it through the lens of the code, number of types of residences can be constructed there. But even, I think some people think even new construction right about now is not necessarily affordable. So I would say that it would be high. highly unlikely that these wouldn't be anything other than above the above market rate house.
And I was happy to hear too that I don't have an issue with special events, weddings, and that kind of thing. I was thinking more of the open bar, some of the downtown concepts where it's nice in summer and they open the doors and the band's playing, blasting all night, and people are trying to sleep. And again, this isn't going to be a company town anymore. When you mention the current residence, as it's owned by the company, now it's being transferred to private property owners who now have an interest. They paid a lot of money to be there. And like Alan said, and that's the point I mentioned about Whidbey Island, I mean, they're literally have been lawsuits suing the state and the federal government because they moved in, affected property owner, and, oh, we didn't realize that there was an airport that's been here since World War II. And I know that there were extenuating circumstances with more flights and more noise. But there will be issues, I'm telling you. So,
yeah, even at the current 10 o'clock threshold, having spent a significant amount of time in code enforcement, the 10 o'clock threshold is an issue and creates. It all really depends on the individual, their current circumstances. I think whether it's 10, 11, or midnight, there are always going to be noise-related issues.
Anyway.
Specialized area, staff is not as concerned about the midnight here in this one location as something that is known day one, not day two.
Yeah.
Well, and the developer would be free to place its own lesser regulations should it learn an unhappy lesson about noise till midnight.
As thick as you think this code is right now, probably at certain places you're not going to sneeze in some of these areas. So I do believe that they are going to put a lot of market-driven limitations on this property, far beyond anything that we've approached here.
And I've given a cursory review to some of those CCNRs, and I'm pretty sure that Mr. Rose and I are not allowed to walk out of any building together at 10:30, period. So based on our own personal volume. So,
Commissioner Spencer.
As I believe the chair mentioned, the noise implications aren't just limited to the village of Port Gamble, though. But under certain conditions, noises can carry across the bay where there's a lot of residences, and I think that could be problematic with a midnight threshold across the board.
We have had conversations with the Port Gamble Squallam, significant conversations. The draft that you see before us was actually involved in discussions between Pope and the Port Gamble Squallams as well. They have no objections to the code as I provided to you, and they are definitely the ones who are most sensitive to that. As you can pretty much hear someone sneeze at Point Julia from Port Gamble and vice versa. But unfortunately, I can only speak to, based on no other necessary testimony, the Port Gamble Squallam's lack of objection to the code as
I don't want to take too much time, but would the commission be okay if we ask the applicant to give clarification? What I'm specifically interested in is how critical this is to their project. I don't need to be convinced again, because they made compelling arguments to me, and you have as well, why they should have it. I want to know the counter side is, if the commission were to put a restriction, what significance would it be to their plans? They wouldn't mind addressing it. That's okay with you. He's entertaining, though.
What 3-minute timer? It wouldn't be the end of the world. It really wouldn't be. I think as long as the Friday, Saturday, we could do that. Remember that it's only in the commercial area that we're asking for the special dispensation. And, you know, that's also the area where our plan is the only spot where we're going to have Airbnb and short-term rentals.
All right.
So it's going to be the little party central, and then there's going to be neighborhoods, you know, beyond that, that where the typical county rural noise ordinances would apply. So I don't have a strong objection to Monday through Sunday through Thursday, 11 o'clock. I don't have a strong objection. I really do want to work to keep the later hour for the weekends up.
Yeah.
We've got to rock and roll a little bit up.
Those retirees want to party.
Fair work shows and other things.
A lot of them are in bed by 8, but their grandkids are staying up later.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Any other comments?
Mr. Chair, I'd make a motion to amend to reduce the hours from the noise hours to 11 o'clock Sunday through Thursday and midnight Friday and Saturday.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of the amendment, please say aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. Motion carries with one in opposition. Thank you. Okay, any other amendments? Discussion? Okay, hearing none, and we still have that underlying motion, correct, to approve? Okay, so this would be on the motion to approve it as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fill out this table with the information that just came, the three amendments, and then findings of fact, and I'll bring it back to you here hopefully soon after they are complete.
Okay. And I think if findings are approved at this meeting, we have to have unanimous vote, correct? Is that the policy?
We have to vote to approve on an emergency basis, I think.
I thought it was under the rules of procedure. It has to be unanimous, but that's okay. I'm sure it will be. I don't think we have the problems we had at the last meeting. Oh, you had a... Gotcha. Great. Thanks. Okay. Great. We'll see you in a while. Okay, next agenda item, G, 2019 Comprehensive Plan Amendment Update. Before we begin your presentation, we have one commissioner who recused himself from the Dickey Pitt portion. Is there a way to address each of these items so that he can participate throughout the discussion without having to leave the dice and back and forth?
Hello.
Recovered.
Mr. Best.
Yes. So your question was, is there a way we can separate Dickey Pitt from the rest? Yes, I think that would be fine. I can imagine several ways to do it. However, your preference is to manage the conversation would be fine.
I don't have any issue because I think because he recused himself through the decision, now we're just right confirming the findings of fact of what took place. So I don't even have an objection to him voting on the whole thing. But I think whatever the commissioner is comfortable with.
I do believe it's important to recuse myself from any vote or any action with regard to the Dickey Pitt matter.
Okay, great. So however staff would like to arrange it would be okay.
Okay, if that's the case, then I guess we can proceed with the whole thing, knowing he's recusing himself from discussion about that one specific amendment.
Is that correct?
Clear? Okay. And I apologize. I'm trying to log into the system so I can present you a sheet. Oh, I know why. Too many different options. So what we are doing tonight is adopting the findings of fact, conclusions, and recommendations of the Planning Commission on the 2019 Comprehensive Plan Amendments. You completed deliberations and adopted recommendations at your last meeting.
I'm sorry, I have a hard time hearing you.
Okay. Here we go. So we completed deliberations at your last meeting on the 4th. And you've been given in your packets a draft of the findings of fact. There are five areas that I'd like to go over with you as far as changes or items that were discussed at your last meeting that I'd like confirmation that reflects the Planning Commission's actions. So I've got five sections to cover. I can go over those, or if you'd like to start another way on these findings of fact, be happy to take your lead.
You need concurrence on those. You don't need a formal vote from us, do you, on the additions to the findings before we vote on an underlying motion to approve?
I think that would be fine. You know, if there are any objections to how it's written, then we definitely need to address that.
Okay. So, Commissioner Shattuck?
Yes, I've moved that the Commission adopt the proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and recommendation of the staff with regard to sections 1 through 7 of the, as presented by staff.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second to approve the findings of fact, sections 1 through 7, correct? Any discussion?
There are no suggested changes or areas to review in these unless commissioners have any questions or comments about what was drafted.
Okay, any questions or comments? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor, signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Shattuck.
Chairman, I understand the next discussion will be on adopting the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and recommendations regarding Section 8, and that includes the Dickey Pit. And to make sure we don't have an appearance of fairness problem, I am recusing myself from that decision, and we'll leave the dais.
Great. Thank you. We'll note the meeting minutes, too, at 6:14 p.m. Okay, Section 8, Dickey Pit.
Yes, so on Section 8, there's only one Scrivener's revision to Item 10 in Section 8, highlighted here in the text. It was previously drafted as using the word revised by the Planning Commission, and the correct word would be as conditioned by the Planning Commission. So I would consider that a Scrivener's error, but wanted to highlight that.
Could you state it as it should be read?
Yes. The full sentence for item 10 is based on the record in the staff report, public comments, and Planning Commission deliberations, the amendment as proposed in the January 10, 2020 staff report and as conditioned on February 4th, 2020 by the Planning Commission.
Thank you. And I would make the motion to approve Section 8 as amended by staff.
Okay, we have a motion to approve Section 8 as amended by staff. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Any discussion? Okay, Commissioner Spencer.
Finding number 8 seems to generally address the some of the concerns I had with regard to compatibility with adjacent industrial land uses, and so I'm willing to support a motion to approve with the language that's been added in finding number 8.
Right. Any other comments? Hearing none, we'll vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Okay. 9.
Mr. Baker thought we would be this speedy.
After the last marathon, consuming the...
He brought snacks.
Okay, welcome back to Commissioner Shattuck, 6:16 p.m. Is there a motion to approve Section 9?
If I may introduce, just for information, a few changes.
Yeah, do you mind this is the right making template. Explanation to what we see in red, et cetera?
Yes. So the first one here on the screen under Section 9, Item 2A, is not in your packet. This was an additional edit recommended by staff tonight. This is regarding the mineral resource amendment and clarifies that the additional parcel that was recommended by the Planning Commission, we're recommending attaching an exhibit that documents that parcel, just so it's clear in the record the rationale for it, where it's located, and so forth, so folks reading this and referencing that can understand that without having to search for a parcel somewhere. And I can show you that exhibit. This is the exhibit, attachment 1. This is the same language as what was in your packet for the 4th. Includes a map of the site and a brief rationale for the staff analysis. Okay. So that's that first change under item 2A. So then under item 5A, what was attachment 1 now becomes attachment 2 without any changes to the content of that attachment. Under item 6A1, staff is recommending that last sentence is appended with the words "and recorded with the Kitsap County Auditor." So this is a contract for service with the district and no protest agreement for those parcels. It is both executed and recorded is the recommended addition. And that was in your packet. And then the final highlighted section is under item 6.2cb. And this is the language that staff crafted to try to capture the performance-based intent, mitigation intent that the Planning Commission adopted. So this is our attempt to reflect back to you what you adopted. And this is where, if there are revisions to this language to better describe what your intent was, we can edit this as appropriate. One other question staff had was, in adopting this performance-based mitigation measure, I went back and listened to the audio. It was clear that the provision above that regarding the 50-foot setback was not specifically removed by the language of the motions that were adopted, but we wanted to confirm with the commission that your intent was to keep that as well as the performance-based measures, or if your intent was something different. But the actions that were taken kept that and then added the performance-based measure.
Okay, Commissioner Ball?
Yeah, I believe that...
Excuse me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Chair. Given that we're going to have some discussion with regard to the specific issue, again, I think it's important I recuse myself, and I'll be leaving the dais.
Sounds great. 6:20 p.m.
I believe it was our intent to keep the 50-foot buffer because the 50-foot buffer is required of neighboring industrial properties. Mm-hmm. I can imagine if we got rid of that requirement, then there could be situations where the applicant wouldn't have to include that 50-foot buffer, but then a future industrial use would have to use it. So my take was that we want to retain that for that reason.
My recollection being similar, that we had no intent of making any commentary about general setbacks for the borders of zoning code and its relationship to a separate zone adjacent. That would, in my mind, be overstepping our bounds in general. But I think there was conversation about arbitrarily throwing out a number like 100 and that wouldn't make sense without a project. But I think the intent is not to interrupt the way the code reads today.
I agree. So, through, because we have several of these, let's start back at the first one you introduced and just make sure there's no objections, and then we can move on. We don't necessarily have to vote and pass a motion to approve each correction unless you want to. But going back to 2A, to remove the MRL from tax parcel due to critical areas, and then adding as documented in attachment one. Is everybody okay with it?
Okay. The one thing I do real quickly, browsed across that exhibit. Does it actually specify a parcel number or?
On the exhibit, yes. Okay. Parcel numbers there. And the map located along Willamette Meridian Road.
Thank you.
Yep.
Commissioner Eliason, if I
yeah,
might.
Yeah, go ahead.
If it sounds acceptable to you, I think it would make sense to put the motion in the second on the table for the section. Discuss during discussion the items that might need modification or just kind of general approval, moving through it together as a commission.
That sounds good.
Once Mr. Best is done with his explanations, if in fact he is.
I am done.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll entertain a motion?
Yeah, I can make the motion that we approve. What section are we on? Section 9 as amended and explained by staff this evening.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and second to approve Section 9 with the corrections as presented by staff. Any discussion? Okay, Commissioner Allen.
I have one, just a housekeeping matter. In page 1213, Section 2C, just on the numbering convention, when you have that second set of small A's, could you move to small Romans there?
Yes, I'll,
thank you.
I'll correct that. Thank you. Appreciate that.
So just to be clear, Commissioner, your intent then is that there is a, on page 12, a 2, and then an A, B, and C lowercase,
yes.
But then the next indentation should be a small numeral 1 through numeral 5, since it was an E.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for the clarification.
Great. Any others?
For those of you that brought up things about noise and dust and all of that fun stuff that should be considered, are you comfortable with the language that is proposed today?
I am comfortable with the language, thank you.
I am.
Glad you asked, I was wondering the same thing. Good.
I just had to get to the part where we discuss.
Yeah, right. If there are no other, we can proceed with the motion. No further discussion. Okay, all those in favor of approving Section 9, I got my numbers up, as with the changes as presented by staff, corrections, signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion carries. I'll welcome Commissioner Shattuck back at 6:25 p.m.
No, wait, Richard, we're going to talk about that.
If we could just make sure that the record reflects that I did not take part in adopting Section 9. Thank you.
Yep. Correct.
Great. So, Mr. Chair, I will make all these changes final. Bring before the end of the meeting, bring one back for your signature.
Sounds great.
Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for all the work you've done. Am I allowed to say anything about your future plans?
Sure.
Okay. In case you haven't heard, we're losing a great staff member. He's going to work at the City of Bainbridge Island as a city senior planner. And on behalf of the commission, and I know they can speak for themselves too, I want to let you know I greatly appreciate your service to Kitsap County, and we're going to miss you.
Great. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure really working with the commission for 2.5 years. Thank you.
Great. Okay. And Mr. Baker's not here either. Well, let's move in. If you don't mind, we could rearrange and forget of the order. We have some time to discuss a few items till they get their documents together. So, Commissioner Mull.
I would like to make a proposal for the good of the order. I'm not going to talk about our Dicky Pitt decision, so Mr. Shattuck does not have to recuse himself. but during those discussions at the last meeting, some of us felt like our conversation was somewhat rushed and that we didn't have an opportunity to really have a comfortable exchange of ideas, and that maybe it would even be nice to have time with really difficult decisions like that to actually sit around a table face to face and talk about things. So I would like to propose that we, at a future meeting potentially, request that staff work with us to develop an optional deliberation protocol that would allow us, when we have really challenging questions before us, to make room in a meeting where we're not, you know, rushing with a whole bunch of other things to approve, and enable a framework for us to kind of sit and discuss issues in a more conversational manner before we're faced with making that decision on the record. And I don't know exactly what that framework would look like, but I think it's something that we could talk about and work with staff on to come up with something that we could just say, hey, this is a really hard question. We need more time to talk about it and think about it and ask hard questions about it.
Mr. Ward?
There we go. It's like magic. Dave Ward for the record. We are very happy to work with the commission on making these deliberations work easier. One of the limitations that we had in our last meeting was we had deliberations at the same time that we had a hearing, and that kind of mandates that if we're going to bring everybody down to a table that we have to reset the whole room, which is a little bit awkward. But we have beginning last year, we did have several occasions where we brought the whole commission down to a table where everybody can face each other and speak face to face in a little bit more of a thoughtful and less formal way. That's how we kicked off, if you recall, the use table discussions. And frankly, we thought that was a very productive way to run some of these meetings, and we would love to take advantage of that even more than we are right now. So. We're happy to work with you on those kinds of solutions. I know this is challenging.
And I think starting off with those work-study type conversations maybe made me realize how awkward our conversation at the last meeting was, and it made me long for a more of a work-study framework. So perhaps we could, at the next meeting, depending on how long the agenda is, maybe we could have a conversation about coming up with a plan for handling that in the future.
Okay, we got two here, so Commissioner Beam and then Commissioner Shattuck.
I was just going to bring up, that sounds awful lot like a work study, where we could just adjourn maybe next door, sit around the table over there, and not be in a formal voting type open public. I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, well, we had a few of those, several last year. They're usually held right in front here, and the tables are configured so that we're sitting around. Yeah. But as David mentioned, especially the last meeting, because some of these issues, clarifying edits and that, we've been going 6 months or more into it, and it was kind of a storm just because there were unique circumstances. One, unlike other decision processes, state law requires that everything be batched together and considered at once as in a whole. And as you mentioned, you got a public hearing with the other process concurrent, and it was a lot at once. Even Commissioner Murphy mentioned it was kind of overwhelming. I don't know how many total pages we had. I think it was over 1,500. To go through. So it was a lot to absorb and be prepared to come and discuss. But then we've got other timelines too, because I'm sure when staff puts their calendar together and works back from it, they've got public hearing notice timelines, the county commissioner's schedule, et cetera, and trying to meet all that. Even when you come up with a 6 or 9 month plan to put all this together, things happen and you end up running out of time. I think your point's very well made. I think the work study is very helpful. It would have been nice to not have been as formal as we were. But we did go 3.5 hours being formal, so who knows how long it would have been if we would have had a free-for-all discussion. But, you could argue that the outcomes may be better because then you have that deliberative process where we're exchanging information and usually get good ideas from fellow commissioners. Commissioner, I'm sorry, Shattuck and then Allen.
I think the commissioner's thoughts are well taken, and we've been doing business of this planning commission the same way for the 25 years I've been appearing, before this. And I think, every 25 years, every quarter century, we ought to have a zero-based review in terms of, is this the best way to make decisions? Is the planning commission, basically we're a captive organization to the staff. The staff drives what our agenda is, what our plan is. Should we at some point be looking at the commission and say, wait a minute, maybe we should be looking at things that are important as community representatives that we ought to be looking at and have some back from the commission to the staff. Here's another issue we would like to consider as a commission that we think is important. So I applaud the approach you're taking, but I'm not sure it goes far enough. I think it's time to take a step back. We've got an incredible commission right now, I think. We're full, and we've got some ability maybe to form a committee or do something that says, hey, let's take a look at a bigger picture. Could we do a better, is there a better way to do what we do than what we've been doing the last quarter century?
Okay. Commissioner Allen?
Yeah, two things, I concur with that, Commissioner Shattuck. One of the things that I've seen done in other jurisdictions is to set up the study session format down there, and then the commission moves back and forth. Everything has to be recorded, so you're really moving room to room, and the other room doesn't have a whole lot of seating capacity for issues that you have a lot of people wanting to observe. But to just set up the tables in the format down there, and when we take a vote, we can come up here and take the official vote, but spend the majority of our time or portion of our time where we can actually see each other and engage in conversation. So I agree with that. Another maybe recommendation or idea is to have an agenda setting meeting with the chair and the vice chair. It can be a call. It doesn't have to be a face-to-face meeting, but just periodically reviewing what's coming up, kind of what's the timeline, and then also to receive input on other issues that may be of interest to the commission. And it's one more step, but it would allow the feedback from the individual commissioners to make its way to staff and have it be more of a dialogue in terms of setting the agenda as opposed to just, kind of one way.
You read my mind.
Sounds great. Commissioner Galloway?
Thank you. I don't disagree with anything that's being said up here. I think one of the things that made it a little awkward for me, and I use that term loosely, I didn't feel awkward, but there had been a whole ton of work that had been done leading up to that our last hearing. And I'd only been with the commission now, this is my fifth meeting or hearing. So it was a little awkward in that I was feeling like I was playing catch up the whole time, and I don't feel like I had a full breadth of the issues at hand and so forth and so on. So, there's now three of us up here that are, you know, fairly new to the commission. So for me, that setting would be nice to be able to sort of catch up with, especially when, you know, when we change over, to catch people up.
Just a general comment of my time spent on the Planning Commission. That last meeting was the first time that the commission had really said no to a staff recommendation. In the past, we've made changes, but we never really said, no, this is not the right direction in that. So it was a very unique situation. And it was, you know, kind of haphazard, it felt like. But at the same time, I think everybody did a wonderful job of expressing what they were feeling about it, and we reasoned it out, and I thought we got to a very good point on that. So I think everything's good. We should look at how we do that. I caution that if we do that, I hope you understand that means more time that we would be spending on these things. Not that that's a bad thing, but...
Well, my hope is, I think you suggested, I don't remember who suggested partnering on the agenda setting, and possibly part of this could be, I know this last situation was different and it maybe wasn't possible, but if we could suggest that we not pair really big, important, complicated decisions with a whole ton of other agenda items.
Well, and I'm sure it's a challenge for staff too, because they come in and they don't know what we're going to react to or not, right?
Yeah.
And going into this particular meeting, I mean, my first meeting as chairperson, although I had my own outline, and then I got a bunch of surprises. One, I wasn't involved in helping plan the agenda, and that's something that I would bring up at a planning meeting, is typically the chairperson partners with the staff. But I'm sure by default and other reasons, this, you know, there's probably been chairpersons that weren't as activist. And so the staff has had to grab things and run with it. They've got to hold it together, right? But it was problematic when we had to rearrange agenda items. We knew we had one vacancy, so now we're down to eight. And I knew, having read the rules of procedure, we had to have the five votes minimum. Didn't matter how many were going to show up. And then we had a commissioner leaving in about an hour or so. And I did the math, and we were down to five people, and I knew all it took. We would have had a supermajority of four votes out of five, and we still couldn't get anything to pass. And I didn't want to put staff in a position either that if we were too informal, that we went so long that we lost our majority, and then that was it. In fact, later in the meeting, we had a situation where we were down to five votes, and effectively one commissioner voted no for good reason, right? But that stopped it, because now you don't have five votes. So one person stopped, which is fine. I'm not picking on him because I think it's a good decision. But it goes to show, if you don't have a full-functioning nine member, and you have Commissioner Shattuck had recused himself, and so we started off with six and worked our way down to five, and it's like, geez, we've got to hold this together. Mm-hmm. And then on the Dickey Pitt, the first motion went down, but I think to our credit, we listened to each other, and we compromised, and we came together and voted unanimously to approve the final outcome.
And I felt like you did a fabulous job.
Thank you.
No criticism at all. You know, so
thanks. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Got you under the full deck on day one. And
well, I was telling them I had my nightmare just the other night about this meeting. It should have been about the first meeting. But,
I think they call it a baptism of fire.
There you go. Yeah. Well, and I've told you, too, I'm sensitive because I've been around a long time and watched the ebb and flow, and it was important to me because I think my predecessors, like Commissioner Allen and others, had done such a fine job in having, in my opinion, great relations among the commissioners and the staff. I want to see that continue, and so I'm very sensitive to that, thinking, geez, I certainly don't want to be the one to start some new fire, you know, not during my term. Wait till I'm done, right? But it is good because there has been a lot of history in the past. I remember, in fact, I don't like conflicts. I can tell you where I was sitting in the audience watching the fireballs going back and forth, and it's just not a healthy environment. I think we have enough of that at the national level. We don't need it in Kitsap. So I think we're doing well. Any other discussion? You got your report?
Yeah, I just wanted to
reiterate that that we are committed to working with the commission. We're happy to accommodate suggestions. We've always been open to suggestions, and in fact, it's actually quite frequent that that individual planning commission members do make suggestions to staff for things that we can be calendaring out in future meetings, and we do our best to chase those down and make those opportunities available. I do think it would be a good place to start to do an agenda setting call. I think that would be a good place to start if you're amenable to that. But just know that we're committed to working with you and to keep this as functional a commission as possible.
Great. One thing I'd like to add, too, I was going to mention at the last meeting and didn't, and it's part of this process we can discuss later, but I want to know that the staff, since we're advising the staff and the county commissioners, I want to know where we are at any particular time with them, and without having to either watch them on BCAT, go to the meetings, or call them on the phone, which I occasionally do. We're not getting that. So, for example, last year we had technology issues come before us. We had timber code. I don't even know what the final outcome of that was. And I know I can imagine the staff level, you probably need a vacation after you get through a multi-month process, and the last thing you want to do is go back and revisit things. But it would be nice once in a while for the commission to hear, did the work we do that we did in that process, was it helpful to the staff and was it helpful to the commissioners, and you know, what was the final outcome?
I think that's a reasonable request.
Right. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Best, where are you? Is your documents ready?
Baker.
Baker's up next. Oh.
Come on, Peter, encore.
Fine, I'm good. I'm not best.
John, did you bring enough to share?
I didn't know. I didn't even see you over there.
I didn't think so. Glasses.
Okay. Oh, it's just one set. Oh, yeah. Everybody gets two.
Okay, the two documents that you have before you, and so I don't.
You need a microphone.
It's working. Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Lights on.
There you go. Yay. Okay, for the record, this is Eric Baker with Kitsap County Commissioner's Office. The two documents you have before you, the first of which is the findings of fact. A huge chunk of them are procedural, largely just how we got to where we are today. The second document is the revised table, and boy, was it fun trying to rewrite the noise code. Now we'll go through that in a moment. I will say what I have before you is probably going to have to go through legal review because the original language went through extensive legal review. There is an issue that when you actually move it from midnight to 11, you start changing days. Now when you're saying Friday through, it's such and such on weekdays. Well, weekdays don't mean everything. Is Sunday a weekday? Is it not? So then we broke it down into individual days. And when you cross the midnight hour, you move from Friday to Saturday. So when we go through that, I'll have to explain what I was thinking, and then we'll have to figure out if that actually works. And, of course, any feedback from you guys would be great. So I'll let you guys read the findings of fact, and so I don't stand up here and look like I'm reading over your shoulders.
Great. We'll give everybody a moment to go ahead and go through it. And while you're saying that, I was going to put together a draft suggestion because I looked at the other jurisdictions, and I said, no, I'll let you guys do it.
Yes, I do expect it will need additional work after my lawyer gets older.
Okay, so everybody concluded reading? Commissioner Shattuck.
Mr. Chair, I recommend, or I move that the findings of fact and recommendations on the Port Gamble legislative amendments to Title 17 be adopted as presented by staff.
Second.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye and raising your hand.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Unanimous.
Thank you very much. Pleasure doing business with you. If chair can put pen to paper on their copy, I can take that away with me.
Okay.
And
then you can leave.
Which is good for everybody.
You want to leave?
Ends up home. And it ends up at home.
Oh, to it. Okay. Great.
Yes, it has been brought to my attention that before you guys made that motion, we needed to waive the ability to do findings of fact on the same day as the deliberations.
Yeah, I knew that was coming back. There's a motion and a second to waive. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries unanimous.
Okay.
To readopt the right.
Readopt so we have it in the proper sequence.
Please restate your motion.
Yes. Mr. Chair, I move that the findings of fact and recommendations on the Port Gamble legislative amendments to Title 17 be adopted as presented by staff.
Okay. There's a motion.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries.
Pleasure doing business with you.
Yeah.
And I signed it after.
There you go.
Peter's saving the day to the last day.
Safe travel. Okay, Mr. Best. Not through with us yet.
So, Mr. Chair, I just have the final draft for you to sign.
Okay.
Not the gavel.
Thanks for
all. Thank you, John.
Can we be adjourned?
No. Yeah. I always signed after we adjourned.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the previous administration.
Oh, is that?
I still need to sign the meeting minutes.
Round we go.
Okay. Commissioner Spencer.
Are we still on with the good of,
yes.
Good of the order? I just like to commend Peter for some really top-notch staff work in the recent months and, you know, throughout your career, I'm sure, and wish you well in your new endeavors. I'm sure you're going to be missed. I'd also like to commend Robin for a really good job on some very complex minutes. So
yes.
Your work is appreciated.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely.
Any other comments? Second that.
Oh, any other comments? Hearing none, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, motion to adjourn. Second, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. 6:49 p.m.
Knock the gavel. Get me out of here.
I just,
Peter, are you here?
I think that there's a difference of opinion
on whether you need that.
Yeah. I was say, you must have known some Robert shortcuts.
Yes.
Well,
no way. Yeah.
Doesn't matter
it's Robert.
It's Robert.
Alan shortcuts. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, nobody ever votes no on the motion to
adjourn.
Like,
I've been sitting out there.
Rich,
good to see you. How are you doing?
Just so you know, I'm the other half of the Pam Hurst, Helen Miller executor thing that you've been discussing.
Oh.
nominated, and we're cleaning house.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah.
Thank you for your advice.
Well,
I'm looking at that right now. I've got a Mac. I'm not sure if it'll be interface with Outlook, but we'll see.
We'll see what we can do.
Now they've got a new verification.
I think,